From now on, texts that we read in class are going to be recorded. That way, you can have a reference for the audio of the text. So, if you want to read them at home, you can always go back to the audio and listen to me reading the text. Just do shadowing. And if you have difficulty reading on your own, again, you can play the audio and just try to read as close to me as possible. I know it's difficult to do it without an audio. That's why I thought maybe recording the audios would be better for you. All right, let's start. Today's text is going to be about who owns the future. In recent years, artificial intelligence has evolved from a distant dream into a game-changing force that is reshaping modern society. As algorithms become increasingly ubiquitous, many are asking a crucial question: who owns the future? Is it governments, multinational corporations, or ordinary citizens who often struggle to keep up with the pace of rapid innovation? Today, a small number of tech giants hold an overwhelming monopoly over global data. This centralization of power has far-reaching ramifications. Given these companies' unprecedented influence over how people work, think, and behave, some experts warn that this could create a digital oligarchy, a system where a privileged elite controls information, resulting in an increasingly inequitable society that depends on systems it cannot fully understand. In the labor market, AI continues to transform industries. Many repetitive tasks are being automated, rendering millions of jobs obsolete and raising concerns about the exacerbation of unemployment. Yet, optimists argue that AI will generate new professions requiring high-level creativity, complex judgment, and emotional intelligence. According to them, humans may not be replaced, but rather empowered, provided that they can adapt to these emerging demands. When imagining the future, predictions remain deeply divided. Some envision a world where AI contributes to solving global issues such as climate change, disease, and poverty. Others fear the excessive reliance on algorithms could result in mass surveillance, weaken democratic institutions, and the erosion of personal privacy. In other words, the future might be either a blessing or a curse, depending on the decisions made today. So, who should own the future? Many thinkers argue that it must be a collective endeavor, not the property of a powerful minority. They call for transparent regulation, ethical frameworks, and decentralization of technological power in order to ensure equal access to innovation. If societies manage to balance progress with responsibility, the future may be sustainable, fair, and genuinely empowering. If not, the digital revolution may intensify existing inequalities and create new ones. Ultimately, the future is not something we simply inherit, it is something we actively shape. The real challenge is whether we will shape it wisely. Now, this is a slightly easier reading, that way you can follow along too easily. In recent years, artificial intelligence has evolved from a distant dream into a game-changing force that is reshaping modern society. As algorithms become increasingly ubiquitous, many are asking a crucial question: who owns the future? Is it governments, multinational corporations, or ordinary citizens who often struggle to keep up with the pace of rapid innovation? Today, a small number of tech giants hold an overwhelming monopoly over global data. This centralization of power has far-reaching ramifications, given these companies' unprecedented influence over how people work, think, and behave. Some experts warn that this could create a digital oligarchy, a system where privileged elite controls information, resulting in an increasingly inequitable society that depends on systems it cannot fully understand. In the labor market, AI continues to transform industries. Many repetitive tasks are being automated, rendering millions of jobs obsolete and raising concerns about the exacerbation of unemployment. Yet, optimists argue that AI will generate new professions requiring high-level creativity, complex judgment, and emotional intelligence. According to them, humans might not be replaced, but rather empowered, provided they can adapt to these emerging demands. When imagining the future, predictions remain deeply divided. Some envision a world where AI contributes to solving global issues such as climate change, disease, and poverty. Others fear that excessive reliance on algorithms could result in mass surveillance, weaken democratic institutions, and the erosion of personal privacy. In other words, the future might be either a blessing or a curse, depending on decisions made today. So, who should own the future? Many thinkers argue that it must be a collective endeavor, not the property of a powerful minority. They call for transparent regulation, ethical frameworks, and the decentralization of technological power in order to ensure equal access to innovation. If societies manage to balance progress with responsibility, the future may be sustainable, fair, and genuinely empowering. If not, the digital revolution might intensify existing inequalities and create new ones. Ultimately, the future is not something we simply inherit. It is something we actively shape. The real challenge is whether we will shape it wisely. All right, enough with the reading. These are the most difficult words in the texts. First, ubiquitous. Ubiquitous, or you can pronounce it ubiquitous. It is something that is found everywhere because it is extremely common or widespread in many places at the same time. For example, smartphones have become so ubiquitous that even young children know how to use them. It's everywhere. It could be like a trendy video, a product, an idea. Anything that can be found everywhere is ubiquitous. Ramifications. These are the results or the effects that follow from a certain action, especially when those effects are complicated or serious. Example, the company didn't consider the legal ramifications of collecting user data without permission. Ramifications most of the time are sort of like negative effects or results, not all the time positive. Next one, inequitable or inequitable. It is something that is not fair or treated in an unbalanced way. It is usually because maybe one group gets more advantages than another group, and that's why it is inequitable. Example, many people argue that access to quality education is still inequitable in some regions, meaning it's unfair. Next one, exacerbation. Exacerbation happens when a problem or a situation becomes worse or severe. For example, the delay in decision-making led to an exacerbation of the conflict between the two departments, meaning become worse, an exacerbation led to something that is worse. Next one, decentralization. When power or control or responsibilities are moved away from the central authority and given to smaller local groups, this is decentralization. For example, the government introduced decentralization to allow local communities to manage their resources. Next one, precipitous. Precipitous, it is something that is extremely steep or happens very suddenly. sometimes often in like in a risky or dangerous way. For example, there was a precipitous drop in sales after the scandal became public. Basically, the sales dropped too quickly. Happens a lot in the crypto coins, you know, if you buy coins online, the moment you buy it, just drops, precipitous drop. Next, conundrum. Conundrum is a difficult or a confusing problem or puzzling one. Sometimes that's usually it doesn't have an obvious solution. Example, choosing between a stable job and starting my own business is a real conundrum. Next one, deterioration. It is the process of something becoming slowly worse or weaker or lower in quality over a period of time. For example, there has been a noticeable deterioration in air quality over the last decades, meaning becoming worse or lower in quality. Next one, salient. Salient is something most important or noticeable or relevant to something. For example, one of the most salient points, meaning relevant points, in her arguments was the lack of transparency in the system. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Bye.